Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Trolled Bioenergy Limited conference call for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 2026. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on call we have with us Mr. Vijay Kumar Nirani, Managing Director, Mr. Anand Kishore, CFO, and Mr. Monu Kumar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Kumar Nirani, Managing Director of Trolled Bioenergy Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening to all our stakeholders and enthusiasts of green energy transition. Welcome to the first investors call covering the whole financial year performance for Trolled Bioenergy as a listed entity. Financial year 2025-2026 has been a year of tremendous transformation for the company. We saw great encouragement from the capital markets in the green energy transition. During the year, we also completed the commissioning of all our five ethanol plants and also successfully transitioned from being a mono-feed operator to dual-feed operations in three out of our five ethanol plants. With this integration, we now have the flexibility for a year-long operations and the opportunity to increase the margin contribution with dynamics in optionality of raw material prices. On a macro level, we have seen the impact on the economy due to the Middle Eastern crisis and how over-dependence on crude impacts the overall economy of countries and companies. Understanding this, the Government of India had set in motion a roadmap to achieve 20% blending of ethanol with petrol and created a roadmap for  2020 to 2025 and to achieve the target of 20% blending. Now that the target for 2025 stands achieved, the sector has been waiting for the roadmap for 2025 to 2030. In the recent days, we have seen multiple revisions and gazette notifications from the Government of India in the ethanol sector, aviation sector, and in the CBG sector. All the fuels that will be indigenously made will have the capability to reduce the dependence on imported crude and bridge the gap of trade deficiency for the country. Biofuels not only help in cutting down dependency of imports, but will also improve the local economy and ecology. Allow me to take you through the performance of the company over the past financial years across the various sectors that we work. First one being ethanol. In the ethanol sector, the ethanol industry runs under an ethanol supply year starting from November and up until October. FY 2025-2026, starting November 2025 up until October 2026, saw a huge shock when the ethanol tender published by the OMC had a very unique allocation methodology. This tender even disregarded the contractual obligation of assured offtake from the long-term offtake agreement holders and instead created a waterfall mechanism for allocation, prioritizing cooperative sugar mills, followed by LTOA holders, followed by sugarcane juice-based ethanol, followed by B-heavy molasses-based ethanol, then FCI rice-based ethanol, et cetera. This mechanism would still hold good, but the OMCs also created an allocation strategy based on the states. They called surplus states and deficit states and planned to consume the ethanol within the state mechanism, going against the doctrine of equality for this being a government program. This mechanism of allocation was challenged by one of the ethanol producers in Karnataka in the High Court of Karnataka. The High Court ruled in favor of the ethanol plant and asked the OMCs to stick to uniform allocation methodology and not consider the waterfall mechanism. The OMCs then challenged the matter into higher courts and the matter is being heard. TrueVolt Bioenergy has a production capacity of about 55 to 60 crore liters of ethanol on a 300 to 330 operating day cycle. We made a bid of about 72 crore liters considering 365 days of peak production capacity and were allotted only a quantity of about 26 crore liters against a bid of 72 crore liters, merely about 34% of our bids that were placed. We also got an additional allocation in on top of the 26 crore liters from the public sector OMC, an additional allocation of 8 crore liters from the private companies, including Phoenix and Nayara, and also had targets to sell about 6 crore liters of extra neutral alcohol to the potable alcohol industry, taking our total production capacity to 41 crore liters, considering 26 crore liters again to the public sector OMCs, 8 crore liters to the private sector OMCs, and about 6 crore liters to the ENA manufacturers. Due to the unfair allocation methodology adopted by the private public sector OMCs, there was an oversupply of ethanol available in the country. Looking at the opportunity, the private sector OMCs went back on the already executed purchase orders at the price that TrueVolt had gotten for 60 rupees and requested TrueVolt to revise the price and give a lower bid for the allotted quantities. We did not succumb to the pressure. We hold our grounds and we have been chasing the OMCs to honor the purchase orders and lift the quantities. Also considering the excess production capacity available, the price of ENA, which was estimated to stay at around 62 to 63 rupees a liter, has now fallen down to 55 to 56 rupees a liter, thereby reducing our obligation or our opportunity to manufacture and sell ENA. However, TrueVolt Bioenergy has a unique advantage. We had an allocation of about 15 crore liters, which was pending to be supplied in Q3 of the last year's ethanol supply tender. During the year 25-26, during the last quarter three of the last financial year, we had taken 3 out of our 5 plants under shutdown for the integration of dual feed plants. During the period, we were supposed to supply 15 crore liters, and that carry forward quantity which we did not supply, we requested the OMCs to allocate that quantity and add to the current ethanol supply year for 2025-2026. The OMCs did not heed to the request and sat on our request. We then approached the High Court of Karnataka, and the High Court of Karnataka wide order dated 4th February has directed the oil marketing companies to consider our request and extend the quantities of an additional 15 crore liters. This order remains to be implemented by the government and the oil marketing companies. We have been told that once the LTOA matters, the second court case that is going on against the LTOA holders and the oil marketing companies, is fully disposed of, our additional excess quantity of 15 crore liters will be implemented. Once we get the implementation of this additional 15 crore liters, adding to the already 40 crore liters, including the private and the public sector OMCs, we will reach our peak production capacity of 55 crore liters. Minus that, we are sitting with 26 crore liters from the OMCs, private public ones, 8 crore from the private, and 6 crores of ENA. The company is currently on a run rate of 2.2 crore liters of ethanol sales per month, as against a production capacity of 6 crore liters of ethanol production capacity, taking our capacity utilization to less than 35%. And once the private OMCs and the 15 crore liters is implemented, our production capacity will, or the sales run rate will go up from 2.2 crore liters to about 5 crore liters. Again, going back to the macro level, we have seen the government taking active steps in increasing the blending targets from 20% to 21%. The notification is already in. And also the notification to increase the RON from 9 to 95% as a mandate is already implemented. Recently, we have seen the BIS standards change to accommodate fuels of E22, E27 and E30. We have also seen a notification for adoption of E85 and E100. These gazette notifications and tailwinds give a very strong indication for the further roadmap for 2025 to 2030, where consumption or blending of ethanol is scheduled to increase from the 20% level to greater blending targets. We foresee an active and positive change in the demand and supply curve of ethanol for blending of petrol and consumption in the vehicles. Alternatively, the company is also considering to have export the additional ethanol that we currently produce and in the near future consume at least about 20 crore liters of our production capacity in the sustainable aviation fuel vertical of ours. Next, going to the compressed biogas business vertical. In the CBG space, we have seen tremendous improvement in the operations of our first plant. We have seen a steady capacity utilization of 85%+ and a greater and a revenue and an EBITDA which has improved. Revenue improved by almost about 100%. EBITDA achieved on total revenue is greater than 55%. PAT achieved on revenue is about 45%, thereby proving the feasibility of the CBG sector. Taking the learnings from the first plant, the company has formed two JV companies, TrueAlt Gas Private Limited and the second one, Leafinity Bioenergy Limited. In TrueAlt Gas, Sumitomo Corporation, a Japanese entity which was supposed to infuse equity, has completed the infusion of equity as of April 2026. And Sumitomo is now a 49% JV partner. Under TrueAlt Gas, we have already commenced construction at three locations for 20 tons per day of capacity each. This will improve our current production capacity from 10 tons per day to 70 tons per day. These three plants are scheduled to be commissioned by the quarter three of this financial of the current financial year and quarter four of the current financial year, and revenues will be visible in the current financial year. The second JV company, Leafinity Bioenergy, where Gas Authority of India has already infused equity as of March 2026, is now a JV partner and holds 49% stake in Leafinity. We have targets to set up six CBG plants in Leafinity and have already identified six locations. We are in advanced stages of completing the land procurement process. And early in June 2026, we will be floating the tenders for EPC contracts and commissioning the construction work by July of 2026. We target to commission the six plants by Q4 of FY27, wherein by the end of the current financial year, we target to operate seven CB in total of 3+6 and the current one in total of 10 CBG plants, taking our gross production capacity from 10 tons per day to 162 tons per day. This will greatly benefit TrueAlt in the bottom line growth. In the CBG sector on the macro level, the Government of India is now planning to make some tweakings to the current Satat program, Satat policy, and has come forward to create a complete new policy called Sampoorn. We are expecting the policy to be announced soon, which has greater benefits to the CBG plant, and this greater benefits will largely impact on a positive manner to the proposed plants that TrueAlt holds. On the third business vertical, the sustainable aviation fuel, TrueAlt Bioenergy, looking at the recent gazette notification to allow for synthesized hydrocarbons to be blended with the air turbine fuel, creating a window for SAF to be implemented or consumed in the air turbine fuel mix and allowing for SAF to be a mainstream fuel in the air turbine, in the aviation sector, we see great future in the sustainable aviation fuel and the roadmap is expected to come soon. TrueAlt is again ahead of its curve and has gone ahead and signed an MOU with the government of Andhra Pradesh to set up a 10 crore liter per annum capacity SAF plant in the state of Andhra Pradesh. We have already identified a land parcel which is just 8 kilometers away from a seaport having liquid terminal and about 110 kilometers away from an IOCL refinery in the north, that is in Odisha Paradip, and about 130 kilometers away from HPCL Vizag refinery in the south, and just about 60 kilometers away from an international airport in Bhogapuram. The location also has access to railway rakes inside the facility. That is on the geographical location, which greatly benefits the company for offtakes of the sustainable aviation fuel, either for blending in the refinery or for direct consumption in the airports or export to overseas countries. Sustainable aviation fuel is a great opportunity for TrueVolt to also operate its current ethanol capacity to full capacity by being able to divert 20 crore liters out of 60 crore liters of ethanol to the SAF business vertical, thereby having absolute capacity utilization in the ethanol sector and having capacity utilization in the SAF business vertical also. We have already signed a technology transfer agreement with Honeywell UOP. We are now in advanced stages to commission the front-end engineering works with Honeywell UOP. We are also in advanced stages to execute a long-term offtake contract with three baskets of customers, one being airline carriers, second being aircraft manufacturers, third being oil and gas companies. As soon as we achieve a long-term offtake agreement along with the price, we make our final investment decision and start the ground mobilization. And lastly, on the fourth business vertical, that is fuel retail, TrueVolt Bioenergy has in a record time already commissioned 7 retail outlets under a franchisee model without investing a single rupee of capex. These 7 retail outlets are giving us revenue of almost about 100 plus crores and an EBITDA of about 5%. Company is also in active status to commission an additional 4 plants under franchisee model, taking our total operating outlets to 11. We have also shortlisted 76 additional locations, and we are taking that construction slow due to the impact of the Middle Eastern crisis on the crude price. Once we have some structural or a stabilization of crude prices, we will fast track our 76 retail outlets and take our total count to more than 90 retail outlets by the next financial year. As a whole, TrueVolt has now transitioned from being just an ethanol operator into being a dedicated biofuels platform, having operations in ethanol, CBG, sustainable aviation fuel, and fuel retail outlets. This creates us to not be dependent on only one source of revenue, also not be dependent on just the government policies and government restrictions, but to diversify our revenue base through multiple sectors and through multiple customers. We have seen great challenges in the year 25, in the financial year 25-26, due to the policy flip-flop in the ethanol story, which we now plan to overcome or insulate ourselves through revenue flow from the new 4 business verticals. I now hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Anand Kishore, to take you through the financial performance of the company.
Good evening, all who have joined the meeting. I would like to introduce you to the financial profit and loss account of the company as on 31st March 26. Classifying on the income side, the company top line as on 31st March 25 was 1880 crore, which is now at 1704 crore, and the total income of the company was 1940 crore, which has come down to 1772 crore. A dip is on the sales, is all of our MD has already explained, because the tender allocation was the issue and we have received the unexpected tender. Still, we have been able to manage the dip only with the 8.64%. The company cost percentage was earlier 67.44%. The company has brought the cost percentage to the 65.06%, showing the control on the cost front. The employee benefit expenses of the company, which was 37.15 crore, has gone up to 44.94 crore, giving the additional segment of the business vertical in terms of dispensing stations. The finance cost of the company was 141 crore, which has now at on 31st March 26 booked at 157.85 crore, thereby increasing the finance cost by 11.92%. This increase on finance cost was mainly on account of the conversion of multi-feeder plant, which we have done for three of our units to the extent of 1380 LPD. The depreciation has enormously gone high. The depreciation, which was 64.959 crore earlier, has touched to 84 crore. So the depreciation cost has booked by 30% up. This up on the depreciation is because we have all these multi-feeder plant of 1380 LPD in three of our units, we have capitalized. This capitalization has been more than 400 crore value. So impacting the proportionately on the depreciation and the huge in numbers. The other expenses of the company is in line with the last year, which was 277 crore and has ended with a 267 crore during the 31st March 26. With this, the EBITDA margin of the company, which was in the previous year 18.98%, has improved to 19.81%. Although EBITDA margin of the company has improved, but there is a dip in the profit before tax of the company. The PBT of the company was 152.15 crore on the previous 31st March 25, which is now standing at 109.47 crore. The reduction in profit before tax is, although EBITDA has improved, but the reduction in PBT is mainly on account of the capitalization of assets, what I was telling. And the depreciation cost has increased by 20 crore and the finance cost has also increased by close to 11 crore. This 19 crore. So these two being the major reason, even though my EBITDA has improved, margin has improved, but my PBT margin could not be improved. And the company has been badly hit on the account of deferred tax. So there was the PAT, which was booked at 140 crore during the previous year of 31st March 25, has now established at 80.26 crore in during 31st March 26. I will now take the opportunity to present the ratios of the company, some key company, selling the size of the balance sheet picture to give a better clarity. The company debt equity ratio was standing at 0.61, showing the robust solvency position of the company. The outsiders liability among by net worth of the company was 1.52, which is well within the required limit of the company. The company current ratio is 1.67. This shows the company has a sound liquidity position as of now. The return on capital employed by the company is close to 10%, 9.91%, showing a decent return. EBITDA margin of the company is 19.81%. The gross profit ratio of the company is 27.66%. And the net profit ratio of the company is 4.5%. As I have already told, the net profit ratio has come down to 4.51%, mainly on account of the cost eaten up by the depreciation and the finance cost, which is a one-time back because we are not going to, there is no plan for the company for any additional capex. This capex is already capitalized and depreciation impact is also given. I will now take the opportunity to present the consolidated financials of the company, which is including our one of the subsidiaries, Lefinity Bioenergy, and other subsidiary, True World Gas. So, True World Gas is not into the existing operation as of now, but the Lefinity has done quite a good improvement. If you see the performance of one of the subsidiaries, Lefinity Bioenergy, the company has done phenomenally well. The top line of the company, which during the last year was 28.42 crore, has now touched to 42.84 crore. The PBT of the company, which was 7.70 crore, has now touched to 21.84 crore, showing the profit before tax jumped by three times. And the PAT, which was 6.33 crore, has again jumped by three times to 18.07 crore. So this impact is also given in the consolidated financials of the company. For my subsidiary, if you see, the financials are quite good in the number. Some of the key ratios I would like to present for my subsidiary. The debt equity ratio for the Lefinity Gas, which this company is in JV with a GAIL. So the debt equity ratio is 0.46. The TOL by TNW is 0.88. The current ratio is 3.37. Return on capital employed is 37%. Debt service coverage ratio is 4.25. EBITDA is 16.75%. Gross profit ratio is 77.56%. And net profit ratio is 42.13%. Just I will give on the finally the consolidation of the financials of 31st March 26 to conclude this financial. The top line is again on the console basis was 1965 crore on the previous 31st March 25, which is now as is at 1889 crore with a slight dip of 7%. The expenses on the expenses front is almost in the line with what we have spoken in the standalone profit and loss account. So this is the profit before tax of the company was 146.63 crore during the profit before tax was 159.44 crore on the console basis on 31st March 25, which has now at 129.95 crore. The PAT of the company on the console basis was 146.63 crore on the previous year has now touched to 96.86 crore. To conclude, finally, the ratios on the console basis. I would just like to present some key financial ratios on the console basis. The debt equity ratio of the company is 0.63. Fuel by T&W is 1.52, both showing the company's sufficient solvency position. The liquidity position is quite sound with current ratio of 1.71. The return on capital employed is 10.25%. EBITDA margin is 20.98%, close to 21%, which was earlier 19%. So we are able to remove on this front also. Gross profit ratio is 28.25% and net profit ratio is 5.34%. Thank you.
So should we start Q&A session?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Mr. First up, just on the volume front. So what was the total volume we could achieve in FY26?
FY26, we had the FY25-26, the total amount of tender location given was 30 crore liter was given to us, of which we have already done that close to 24 crore liter of volume we have already served.
24 crore liter, right? I mean, when we did a call in the month of February, right? I mean, we were of the view of 37 crore liter that we were targeting. In terms of volume.
That is correct.
Did this mechanism change happened? I mean, why was we, so, I mean, as an investor, it was not informed to us that of this mechanism change?
No, you're absolutely correct. Even now, the mechanism hasn't changed. If you heard what we spoke during my talk, the company has about, we plan to sell 24 crore liters, which we had in our on hand, and an additional of 15 crore liters that we already have the allocation through quote, as well as the last year's allocation, which was supposed to be carried on. Now, the implementation of that order stands has not happened. If you look at our balance sheet, which is uploaded, you will see an inventory of almost about 460, close to 500 crores of inventory that is already built up. If you add that to my revenue, had this quota to been implemented, we stand at the same levels of revenue of about 2300 crores and sales volume of about 32 change crore liters.
So, sir, just to add on the intimation point of view, this court order of force forwardy was intimated to the exchange. We have uploaded in the all the requisite places wherever required. And this 15.62 liters, the court has given the mandamus in our favor. If we'll work out if we'll go to the order, in terms of value, it comes to 1062 crore, which is what is the court has given the instructions to OMCs to lift this order within a period of 3 months.
Okay. So this 15 crores liter So within 3 months from when? I mean, by when this 15 crores liter will be lifted by OMCs? I mean, what's the timeline?
It was supposed to be from 4th of February, 3 months from there.
Okay. So we are talking about 4th of May. So we are already over 3 months, right?
Exactly. So they are in contempt of that order right now. Actually, what has happened is there is a parallel court case going on between LTO holders and OMCs. And this was challenging the allocation methodology itself. Now, the Supreme Court has directed the OMC that unless that matter is fully heard and disposed of, not to do any new allocation. Though our matter has no impact on that other case, the ministry is taking a stand that unless we fully dispose of that case, we are not able to extend the allocation and implement the court order that has been ruled in favor of us.
Yeah, so by when we expect this to get lifted now, as per current time?
We are chasing them, sir. In fact, we are chasing the OMCs and the ministry. And we are the second matter where we are not party, it is already reserved for orders. And now that the vacation benches are going on, once maybe first week of June or second week of June, we expect that matter, the order to be pronounced. And post that, we should get our implementation of our allocation.
Okay. So by September, I mean, would that be fair that at least by September you expect this to get executed?
Absolutely, sir. We have high hopes that it should have been done in the last quarter itself, Q4 of last year. But, you know, the entire thing is a mess right now, what OMCs have ended up doing. And our expectation is that within September or H1 of this current financial year, we should get that implemented.
Okay, okay. And how come then, I mean, for FY27, we already have 26 crores of liters of allocation, right, from OMC, from the bid of
22 crores?
Okay, okay. So that is the final order, I mean, or is there any changes that can happen in that?
No, that's the final order. So they cannot go back on the already issued orders. And we also have additional 8 crore liters from the...
Okay, so
private OMC.
So total is around 40 from there and 15 additional. So that's how 55 crores liter target we are looking for FY27.
That is our target. But again, two cautions that I would want to give to everybody on a transparent level is the private OMCs, 8 crore liters, we have not cancelled their POs. That POs are still on. The lifting has not started. Out of 8 crore liters, we have been only able to sell 1.6 crore liters. And the balance 6 crore liters is still pending to be sold. So we are waiting for the indents to be issued.
Okay, I got it. And what's the realization? I mean, can you throw some light on the realization, how things are there?
In terms of unit rupee or gross?
You know, rupees per liter, yeah.
So we will be looking at 67 rupees per liter as average sales consideration.
67 per liter. Okay, okay. I got it. So just one last couple of things. On the CBG side, you mentioned current is 10 tons. We are increasing it to 162 in next what? By FY27 end?
In the next 9 months, we will commission another 9 plants. 3 with Sumitomo and 6 with GAIL. And all of them are in advanced stages of construction.
Earlier, I mean, we were planning for 10 plants, right? I mean, 4 plants of 20 TPD and 5 plants of 12 TPD to be commissioned by Jan or March FY27.
That is absolutely correct. The one plant, Sumitomo, like I said, it was supposed to be 4. Now it has become 3. Because one of the lands, there is some legal complication from the seller side. We are waiting for that land, for that complication to get settled. Which is why I'm not giving a rosy picture that we'll commission all 4. I'm only giving 3 locations. But minus that land issue, everything else is aligned for us to start construction on that fourth plant also, taking our total capacity or number of units to 11.
Okay, I got it. And the margins profile here remains at 50% in CBG.
We foresee it to be the same unless, you know, the government is acting very strange at all times. So we expect it to be the same.
Okay. That would be it from my side. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vineet Thakur from Plus 91 AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, could you just give me the economics of the ethanol? Because if I look at the 24 crore liters, we are running at around 44% utilization for this year. And that would give us around, at a 67 rupee per realization per liter, it should give us around 1600 to 1650 crores per of revenue. We have posted around 1700. So could you just give me some clarity on that, sir?
You're correct. So if you consider only the private public sector OMCs, it's 26 crore liters. 26 into the 67 realization, if you do, that would be the revenue that we will get. But the private OMCs, the 8 crore liters is not going to go away. And also you need to add other income that we have as a company. So gross revenue will be, we have another income of almost,
So the other income is 68.28 crore close to. With this, we have ended with 1772 crore.
The other income should again be around 70 crore liters.
Yes, sir. So this also included the operating income, also included the production link incentive. So which is also added. So what is the worked out 1600 crore is exactly right. Over this, you have to add the PLI and interest subvention.
So could you explain the PLI scheme and the subvention scheme, like how would the, how do economics work for that as well? Like on, we get a PLI scheme, how is the, how does it work, sir? If you could explain it to me.
So the PLI scheme is provided by the state government, Karnataka government. Under this scheme, we are eligible based on the criteria, and for which the scheme classifies that 1.75% of the annual turnover shall be given in the form of a production link incentive. So let's suppose you have done a turnover of 100 crore, 1 crore 75 lakh will be, you will be given in the form of a PLI. Second is interest subvention, what you are talking. Interest subvention is in the form of actual interest which you are paying under the subvention scheme to the, on your term borrowings, of which 50% maximum to the extent of 6% will be given to the credit. Let's suppose 10% is the bank applicable rate. You will give the, you will get the 5% from the NABARD in the form of interest subvention.
Okay. And so the PLI scheme, I'm assuming, would be refunded on SGST?
No. There is no SGST benefit here, sir.
Okay. So then the PLI scheme, we will get the credit amount in our accounts. And so coming to the CBG, could you explain the economics of CBG as well? What would be our future revenue growth, and how do we understand the economics of CBG going forward?
So just to give you the brief, now I have a 10 PPD plant which is generating a revenue of 42 crore. Now this we are adding up another three plants with Sumitomo, that is 60 crore. 60 TPD. So 60 into, if you will multiply that proportionately, you will find out the numbers are in the term of 240 crore close to annually. Now if we, this quarter, if we are commencing the business, I will take the two quarter revenue. So let it split it to half, that comes to 120 crore. So 120 crore is the revenue which we are looking from the Sumitomo. Plus separately, simultaneously, you have to calculate for the Lefty Bioenergy, which is JV with a GAIL. So if I am assuming a one quarter revenue for a GAIL, that comes to around six plant consist of 72 DPD, 12 into 6. So for 72 DPD, similarly, I maintain this and find out the top line of my is added around 400 crore during the year. On this, you can was I am given the unit economics, because some you can take the revenue. It presently we are billing at 84 rupees to 85 rupees per kg. So that is the quantity, that is the amount we are being billed. So in terms of revenue, you can target 400 crore. And in terms of EBITDA margin, you can, now I have booked that close to 60% plus, but safer side, even you can book it 50% in the initial year of operation when the scale is not at fully of capacity utilization. Still, you can find a number and you can work out. I have just given you the brief numbers.
And sir, could you give me the split between ENA and ethanol? If for this year, what was our split for ethanol and ENA, and or did we not do any ENA this year?
Our total ENA was around 3 crore liters against 24 crore liters of gross sales.
And so what are the realization of ENA as well, if you can give the number?
Sorry, sale price of ethanol, sir.
It was 62 rupees average.
62 rupees. Okay, sir. And sir, since as the previous participant also mentioned that we had estimated around 37 crores of order, and we are fulfilling around 54 crores of next year, how confident are we to achieve this number, sir, next year?
So now, we are very confident because the company has the required working capital. We have more than 1,100 crores of capital in hand to secure feedstock. All our plants are fully commissioned. Now, when somebody disregards the contractual obligation and goes and creates a new policy framework, which exactly happened in the current ethanol supply year, I don't have an answer for that. We can only go tap the judicial doors and get some benefits, which we did also. Now, minus any hanky-panky that the oil marketing companies could end up doing, we are very confident to achieve that number.
So, sir, what are the policy frameworks that are affecting us right now to not achieve this number is would be my next question, sir, then.
So, I would say there are some positive benefits that have already come. I'll say why we could achieve first is that you've seen the notification recently from 20% to 21% blending. They've increased by 1%. E22,
yes.
E25, E27, and E30 BIS standards are out. E85 and E100 has become a mainstream opportunity. There is a huge push for flex fuel vehicles already. And if you ask me on my individual opinion basis, I can individually say that we are in a curve where even if we are unable to supply, the OMCs will come and try and make us operate the plant and get the ethanol, considering the crude prices. And the crude prices are set to remain at these levels for a long period, right? That's what we have been seeing. So I don't see a great, I mean, a bigger challenge for us now that the OMCs will not take this quantity. Also, just to tell you, we are now trying to be less dependent on the Indian government's policy framework and diversify our point of sale. We are, one, exploring export opportunities. We have already written to ministry to open export of ethanol. Once that comes in, we already have standing demand for South Asian countries, including Japan, for their blending targets. That could be a big market for us to increase our capacity utilization. Also, about 30% of our gross or 25% of our gross production capacity can be consumed in the sustainable aviation fuel also that we are planning to set up.
Correct, sir. So, sir, coming to the ethanol production, since you're diversifying it, we set up a dual feed as well, and DDGS being the byproduct of it. Did we utilize any maize or other the dual feed plant? And if so, what was the DDGS contribution for this year?
So we did operate three of our plants on maize and also on broken rice first brief period of time. Our base DDGS price we got per kg was almost about 24 rupees. And our gross revenue that we realized now on DDGS alone was somewhere around 78 crore liters.
70 crore.
Rupees, sorry. Rupees, around 78 crore rupees.
78 crores. So that would be included in the ethanol sales, I'm assuming?
Sorry, sorry, 28 crore rupees. Sorry, 28 crore rupees. 28 crore rupees. My correction.
So the 28 crores would be, I'm assuming it's already realized in the ethanol segment and not in the this.
It is a small segment only, sir.
Pardon, sir?
It is a small segment only, correct? What you are trying to say.
Okay. And sir, another question would be, if you want to understand how does the dual feed plant work, my understanding is that during the harvesting of sugarcane, we would switch up, like during the off-season of sugarcane, we would be using the maize and broken rice as an alternative. But what would be the runtime of these plants if run on dual feed, and if so, what would be the production capacity utilization for those plants can be achieved in next 2-3 years?
See, our target is to operate all the five plants on syrup for 100 days in a year. That is during the sugar crushing season.
Yes.
And the residual molasses that we end up achieving in our group company or in the open market, we buy that residual molasses and our group company's molasses, which is almost about 4 lakh metric tons, 3.5 to 4 lakh metric tons, and store it for two plants, unit 4 and unit 5, which are monofeed. and that also ends up becoming a year-long operating capacity. For unit 1, 2, and 3, which are dual feed, here our target is to make the remaining of 200 days in the operating cycle or 230 days, we run it on maize or rice or broken food grains.
Remaining 240 days, if I'm 230 days, if I'm not wrong.
200 to 230 days.
Okay. And sir, I also have some clarity about CBG as well. Since CBG, we are assuming what this one gave the numbers and direction. But what are the sustainable margins we can assume for, going forward on CBG? We have achieved tremendous margins this year, but would it be a sustainable margin? Or if so, what would be the contributing factors for those?
So as far as the current policy framework is under the Satat program, where we get a market development assistance for sale of fertilizers and price of gas being 85 rupees, I don't see a change in the margin profile for CBG. Now, there are rumors, and we have also attended multiple ministerial industry discussions for a new policy called Sampoorn that is scheduled to come. Under that Sampoorn policy, again, the rumors say that the price could be increased from 85 rupees to 100 rupees for gas. And there could also be a production-linked incentive of 5 rupees, which is, again, these are the rumors that we are hearing. And again, I'm expressing this with caution that these are rumors that we are hearing. If that comes in, we could see better margins, but we'll have to wait and watch for the policy to be actually announced.
So, sir, in CBG, my understanding would be CBG is utilized by fertilizers and other as an alternative fuel as well. So, with the for the JV with Sumitomo, my understanding would be that we would supplying it for the fertilizer section of Sumitomo. If I'm correct, sir?
No. See, Sumitomo is a strategic investor, so they are a trading company by large and a large investment house. So Sumitomo has invested into multiple companies like Think Gas and some other companies also. For them, what they say is that it acts as a backward integration for gas sales.
Okay.
But irrespective of that, Sumitomo is more of a strategic investor for us to participate in the CBG opportunity.
And so what about GAIL then?
GAIL again is they are the whole and soul for gas trades in the country. They are like the nodal body for all gas transactions. And GAIL will help us greatly in offtake of gas.
Okay, got it, sir. And my last question would be the retail fuel segment. What would be the how do I understand the retail fuel segment contribution towards our revenues going forward? Like margins, I understand it's more like more than less than 2% or around 2% hovering around. But how does the contribution of retail fuel segment would be going forward?
So right now, like I said, we will have 11 outlets by the end of in the next 3 months. 7 is already on operation. It's giving us a revenue of about 105 crores in just the 7 retail outlets. So even if you multiply that by, we're targeting to do about 75 retail outlets subject to the crude prices. That come in play, the revenue growth is going to be large. So it is going to be in terms of, let me not put out the number, but you can do the math.
So by this year, you're saying around 72 plants you want to achieve.
Oh, I couldn't hear that, sir.
So by the end of this year, you want to achieve around 72 plants, if I'm not mistaken.
11 plus 76, that would be about 87 plants.
So, 87, as I do the numbers calculations, around 15 crores per fuel station we are making, that would assume around...
Zero capex.
Yes,
I'll
take it 10 crore
per
10 to 12 crore
with
zero capex.
10 to 12 crore with zero capex. So that would be our sustainable revenue per plant going forward. And
yeah, it will add to the top line definitely.
Yes. Not much to the data margins if I'm not wrong.
It is a volume which plays here there from the EBITDA margin.
See, in that vertical, our margins will be better in the ethanol segment where we do the blending with petrol, and that blending is done by TrueAlt. Our focus to getting into retail is not just to do trading. It is to increase our ethanol margin by blending petrol with ethanol and selling it on our own franchisee.
So, yeah, that would assume, I would assume we will have a greater margin than those. But are we ethanol blending in all of the retail fuel segments? As of right now?
Yes, sir, all the exactly.
It will be blended only. It will be blended and supplied.
Okay.
So one thing is before supplying one is blending income and post supply it is a margin income.
Okay, sir. And sir, as we see, you hold a lot of inventory as of right now. We assume this inventory should be liquidated by this year end. And going forward, what would be our working days and inventory days and payable, sustainable payable days and inventory and receivable days? Would it be seeing the old numbers or would it be a higher now?
We are supposed to get the realize our money in 21 days with OMCs. So it's receivable holding, receivable period is not a challenge because maximum 15 to 70 days is average which we realize the payment. Payables belongs to the for the group company and for the outsiders. So when it comes to the outsiders, we have to when we are receiving in 21 days, we try to pay it in 30 days. So that is a 1 month timeline we kept. When it is a group company, it goes on the higher side also. It may go to 2-3 months also. So average of the payable period you can take is 2 months, 60 days. And the receivable is 21 days. So net of net working capital will be 40 days.
Okay. And then my last question would be, since we source a lot of our raw materials for ethanol from our group companies and outside, could you explain if we reach our peak utilization, how would the split will be look like from group companies plus from outside? What would be our split look like for sourcing raw materials?
Viniji, taking this as the last question, so group company, our last year's sourcing was less than 55%, and we sourced more than 45% from the open market. And going forward, since we have 3 dual feed plants, that ratio will keep increasing towards non-group company.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tanmay Javeri from Pinterest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, yes, hi, sir. Sir, I missed the opening commentary, so I just wanted to understand what was the reason for our revenue mix and how do we see our volumes for FY27?
So the reason for the revenue dip was, first of all, the low tender allocation. I will just give in short. Our MD has already explained that due to the methodology of allocation in the industry, many players have suffered, including Truworld has also not remained left. So one is a low tender allocation, that is the 1 point. Second point is the 15.62 crore liter of lifting, which we expected from the Karnataka, with order of Karnataka High Court, could not be worked out. And third is obviously, it could not have impacted, but we could have recovered it. But it was the Q2 shutdown of plant for the 3 months also, because if you see the last Q2, we have done the top line of 300 crore order out that year. Had this Q2 also would have been operational due to non-conversion of multi-feeder we have closed, this 300 you add, you will cross the figure of what we have done the last year.
Right. So FY27, we were targeting 55 crores plus this 15 stands. So I assume it's 70 crore liters, or how do
we see? We cannot tell you the figure of FY27.
It's about 40 crore liters, again, just for repetition, 26 crore liters allotted by public sector OMCs, 8 crores by private sector OMCs, 6 crores by for ENA, and 15 crore liters, which is pending to be implemented. So gross goes up to 55 crore liters. You could do the math on it.
Right. And so one question on the CBC side. Now, since we have been planning 9-10 plants which will be live by this year, and we have more around 10-15 CBG plants which will be live, so how are we planning on the funding side?
So this will be both with debt and equity. So company from Truworld side, we need to invest 51% and 49% from the JV partners, Sumitomo and Gale. We have already provisioned that capital, and that capital is infused also into the subsidiaries. And debt has been tied up for the Sumitomo plants with NABARD
at a reasonable rate of 8.65%. You can refer the balance sheet. And for the Lifrity Bioenergy, we have four, five sanctions in hand, all in the well lower range than what we have got from the NABARD.
What will be the mix of debt to equity?
70-30. 70-30.
Okay. And sir, one request, if the management could do more one-on-one meets during the quarters rather than to wait for the concalls every quarter.
No, allow me to apologize to all stakeholders on this front. It is the management has not been active for in the last quarter, majorly because we've been fighting a lot of battles with ministry and with OMCs, trying to revise the, or rather create a framework for 2025-2030, and get our orders implemented and all of that. A lot of time went into Delhi itself. That we will take your advice, and we will ensure in the next quarter we will have more management interactions with investors.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Udit from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Regarding the CBG plant, we have said that we'll procure the raw material through the spent wash and the press mud. So this will be through our own, you know, captive plants, or will it be purchased from outside?
For the three plants, or rather four, including the fourth one, if we say four plants of Sumitomo, entire of the raw material will be sourced from our group companies itself. Let's say PGPL is a wholly owned subsidiary of Truecaller. Entire spent wash will come from Truecaller itself. Whenever we make ethanol, we get spent wash, and spent wash is sold at an additional revenue, as an additional revenue to PGPL. So both PGPL will get assured raw material, and Truecaller will also get additional revenue. And the press mud will be coming from our sugar company at market rates. Now, for all the plants with GAIL, everything is sourced from open market.
Okay. So is there that much availability? Because we see a lot of CBG plants talking about sourcing napier gas, grass, and, you know, doing the plantations. So do we plan to get into... I mean, feedstock seems to be a major issue. So do we have the visibility for procuring the feedstock for, you know, all the plants that we are planning?
Your understanding is correct, sir. So because press mud is available at bulk and, whenever a ton of sugarcane is crushed, 4% of press mud has to come out. So what we have done as a strategy is, wherever we have chosen the location, we have at least three times the required raw material within a close vicinity of 20-kilometer radius. So, even if one plant is not able to operate at capacity, we'll still have, additional sources within 20-kilometer radius. So, we have secured it that way.
Once these plants are operational, do we have any other further plans for CBG plants, or we will see how this ramps up?
We do hold ambition to scale up further from the planned 10 plus 4. But we will do that in phases. Once these are fully commissioned and start yielding us the results as Truecaller, as Lifinity's first plant has given, post that we start further CapEx and further scale up.
Okay, sir. And, regarding, sir, the ethanol case that we won, regarding, even I read it in the news, regarding those 15 crore liters. I mean, could you tell us again? I mean, you said there's a parallel court case going on. When is that expected to be resolved? And, won't it be a problem for the OMCs to allocate quantities to other distilleries as well? I mean, how will they manage their requirements for this year?
So, I'm sharing my understanding. One is that the court case has already been fully heard, and matter is reserved for orders. Now that you know the there are vacation benches going on, or vacations going on for the courts. Third of June is when the courts will resume, and we're hoping that the orders will be pronounced as soon as the courts resume. And we don't know what the outcome would be, but going by the single bench and the double bench order, which ruled in favor of the ethanol manufacturers, we don't know whether I can comment on that or not, but there could be chances that the ethanol players could benefit from that court case. And yes, it could be a challenge for the OMCs, which is why they have already increased the blending targets from 20 to 21, and they've come out with all these notifications for E22, E25, E85, E100, all those.
So do you have any idea what is the blending target for this year? Because my understanding was that the requirement with E20 was something around 11, 12 crore liters, and the capacity is, I think, 19, 20 crore liters, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but you could correct me.
I didn't get that question.
Sir, what is the total ethanol requirement in India with the E20 blending, and what is the production capacity as of today?
Okay. So realistically speaking, India has an installed capacity. And by installed capacity, I count 365 days of operation of about 1,800-1,900 crore liters as on date. Now, the plants will run only for 300 days and at 90% capacity. So if you deduct that capacity, India has an operating capacity of about  1,500-1,550 crore liters. Now, for 20% blending with petrol, India requires about 1,250-1,300 crore liters, considering the shortfalls, and some companies are not able to supply even though they have orders. Considering all of that, 1,300 crore liters become the requirement. Realistically, 1,100 is the demand, but 1,300 becomes, including the buffer, is the requirement. Now, if that increases to 25%, you could do the math. India consumes close to 4,500 crore liters, sorry, 5,500 crore liters of petrol, and on that, 25% would be the demand that gets created.
You're right, sir, but the government has been making a lot of noise, and like you said, logically, with the petrol prices up, with the international prices up, it would make more logic to blend more ethanol. But that's not actually translating on the ground till now, is what your feedback is.
I agree with you, sir. So we have all been, as consumers and as producers, I'm a consumer because I consume petrol. I'm a manufacturer for ethanol. Government has had to reduce the price of petrol blended with ethanol. That did not happen. At least let's hope in the future it does.
Okay. Okay. So this year, sir, do you see the blending rate going up by 1% or 2%? I mean, from your understanding,
It's already increased by 1%, sir.
Okay. So from 20%.
Going by rumors on the street, it could go up to 25%. Again, cautiously saying, going by the rumors, it could go up to 25%.
Okay. Great, sir. One last question, sir, regarding the CBG again, the new policy that you're talking about, that it's in the works. I mean, how serious is the government about it, and how is the offtake looking of CBG?
So we have had multiple industry-level discussions with the policymakers, and there they took into consideration all the challenges that multiple others are seeing. And their objective is to try and overcome those challenges for the sector. I really don't know the workings of the policy yet. There are rumors. I don't want to share those rumors on the call. It would be wrong of me. Maybe I expect that policy should come out maybe in a month or within the month or month and a half. We could get to read more on.
Okay. Okay. But sir, kudos to you. I mean, you are one of the few people who are operating a CBG plant successfully. I mean, we've been talking a lot of manufacturers, but you're one of the few ones who's doing it successfully at these margins. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you so much, sir. We had our losses in the beginning. It's thanks to the investors and the stakeholders for their patience and the continued support to us.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parth Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. I wanted to ask you, last year, you closed the book at 1,800 crore. So on an absolute basis, what can we expect from this year? And second question will be, what can you do more for marketing your company or your products?
So let me not give a direct answer to how much we could close at for the current financial year, FY27. But you did hear on the volumes and the average sales price that we are realizing. Our efforts, both for us as a company, as for me as an individual promoter and investor, and for all the investor community, we will leave no stone unturned to achieving that number of at least minimum 40 crore liters, and a bonus if we achieve it will be 55 crore liters.
And on advertisement or marketing your company or your products?
That is something that we need to start, and you will see a lot of it going forward because we'll have our fuel retail outlets starting to operate. So we will need a lot of marketing done, and we will take your advice and we will start creating some capital, or rather we will start having some plans or programs for marketing. Operator?
Mr. Pat, does that answer your question? As there is no response from the current questioner, we'll move to the next question from the line of Charchit from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. My majority of the questions have been answered. Just one question, sir. What was the revenue of from the DDGS in FY26 and Q4 FY26?
So it was about 28 crore rupees, sir. We did mention that earlier. Because we operated most of the, during the season, that is Q3 and Q4, majority of the operations is done on syrup. And it's very little quantity that is done on the maize or alternative feedstuff. So we did about 28 crore liter, rupees only.
If possible, can you just explain the economics, how it works, like in the economics of DDGS?
So you want the unit price?
Yeah, like from ethanol, how much like DDGS we can extract?
Sorry, I didn't get.
So you want to know in during the production of ethanol, how much DDGS is generated?
Okay.
Yes.
So for every ton of maize that we crush, we get about 18% of DDGS as byproduct, and every ton of maize gives us 380 liters of ethanol. So we have a production capacity of 1300 KL.
Okay.
And when it comes to rice, we get about 22% of DDGS, and the yield of ethanol is about 480.
Understood, sir. So just one more thing, like
depending on the starch again.
Okay, understood. So like as we move towards like E21 and E27, so what kind of realization increase we can expect going forward?
So we will expect more of capacity utilization and revenue numbers, but margin increase, we don't foresee a lot of margin increase because we are already looking at 20% of EBITDA margin. Because our volumes were low, we had a huge depreciation that ate away our PAT from EBITDA. And also finance cost is a little too high because we have a lot of capex and it's still a young company. We are still doing hyper, we are still at hyper growth phase. So eventually we'll bring down the interest levels, that is in the works. Once that happens, you'll see greater margin growth.
Understood. And we are getting like close to 16-20.
It's a lot larger, sir. Per liter, if you see, it's about 10 to 11 rupees now, or about 11 and a half rupees, I could say.
No, I'm asking about ethanol. 670 rupees
ethanol
per
only.
Liter, right? Yeah.
Actually, you're saying revenue? Yeah, 67 yeah. rupees weighted average.
Okay, great. Great, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First question, could you give me the amount of absolute liters booked in the current, for the current quarter and the current year?
Yeah, of course. Nitinji, current quarter, that is Q1 FY27, from the private, the public sector OMCs, we have about 2.2 crore liters per month. So for 3 months, it will be about 6.6 crore liters. Okay. From the private OMCs, I still have about 6.2 crore liters available up until September, October end. And if you divide that, actually they had to do a uniform offtake. That is not happening. We are still pushing them to lift quantities. They're still trying to...
I think there's a misunderstanding of the question. I'm saying the absolute sales that we booked from the ethanol segment in Q4, how many liters of ethanol plus ANA have we booked in that? And for the year, how much have we done?
Achha, apologies. You want to take that?
Yeah. So for the whole year, it was 25 to 26 crore liter. And for the particular year, this has been around 6 crore liter.
Okay. And is the breakup possible for the 6 crore liters and the 26 crore liters from the feedstock we have used? Or at least sugar and grain, if you could do that breakup?
We'll share it with you offline.
I don't have right now. We'll share
it with you offline.
Understood, sir. So secondly, something you have mentioned in your opening remarks, something you have seriously contemplated throughout the call, is being the behavior of the private OMC. This seems to be a serious problem, if I may use that word. I mean, it dishonoring a contract. And these are all reputed firms, obviously. There are only a few in India and they're all reputed firms. So they would probably have contracts like they have with you across India, given that 20% mandate is compulsory even for a private OMC. But given that disregarding it with you, and you happen to be the largest private player in India, seems to be a serious concern.
I completely agree with you. You know, both public sector OMCs and private sector OMCs are falling back on their contractual obligations, which is why we have to go tap judicial courts right now. Again, I don't know if it's a mess created by policymakers or the companies, the oil marketing companies, whoever it is that has created this mess. But, you know, a lot of companies are not antagonizing the OMCs because, you know, your point of sales are only two people in the private.
Understood. Yes, that is
so, you know, it's almost become like an oligarchy there. So, we have to play nice with them to an extent. And if they continue this, then we'll have to find certain ways to get this, the contractual obligation to be implemented by them.
Understood. So the surprising thing was what you mentioned for the private, because the private players would have contracted with you at a much lower rate, closer to 60 rupees.
I will tell you exactly. So 60 point change rupees was the price that we have offered to them. They have opened an letter of intent, issued us the purchase orders also, issued us indents up until January. We have supplied out of 8 crore liters, about 1.6 odd crore liters we have supplied already. And going forward, they have said now we want to do a revision in the price. And, you know, the mail is more like a request for revision in price, but you know how it is, right? If you read between the lines.
Yeah, but no. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that, I'm just highlighting that the concern, given that they already had a substantially discounted price.
Exactly.
To start with. And I agree that current market dynamic has pulled it down a little, but tomorrow the 21% blending or 25% blending goes into order, then the prices will again go back to 64 at market level. Then will you increase the prices?
No, I completely agree with you, Nitinji. So, you know, it's a delay. I will say, if you want my personal opinion, not our company's, but individual opinion is, government co, they should have taken the active step to creating a roadmap for beyond 2025, that is year 2025 and up to 2030. They are doing it now in 2026. I don't know, somewhere things got messed up.
Understood, and makes sense. So yeah, so again, yeah, so it makes sense. So you, what you're saying is absolutely correct. I think there was a brief period of hearsay, and if the policy roadmap is clear again, I think we'll be back on track. I agree with you. Okay, so that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vedant Sarda from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So my question is, in the last con call, we have said that we have stabilized our ethanol run rate at around 350 to 400 crores per month of revenue. And in this quarter, we cannot see anything like that.
No, I complete. So last quarter, if you go back, we said that our potential revenue run rate is stabilized at, I mean, production capacity is 5.5 to 6 crore liters. and considering 67 rupees as average yield, you arrive at 350 to 400 crore rupees. Now, we could not do that because of the allocation methodology that we just spoke of entirely. So in November, they came around and decreased the allocation. We were expecting that 15 crore liters of quantity to be implemented. That implementation has taken time. Had they implemented it, we would have achieved that. Consider Jan, Feb and March, 3 months of 6 crore liters plus 15 crore liters. That's 21 crore liters. 21 crore liters divided by 3 months, I would still be greater than 450 crores of revenue run rate.
We have a con call on 9th Feb 2026, and we would be telling like that. So if 2 months of revenue, 1.5 months of revenue, we can see, so it should be around 700 crores, and we have reported for full quarter 595 crores of revenue. So
absolutely correct. So I'll just take you through, sir.
Yeah.
So 9th of Feb, why we made that comment is because 4th of February we have received the court order. And the very same day, 4th of February, we have uploaded to SEBI as well as to stock exchanges that we have won this court matter, and we will get an additional revenue of 1,065 crores. If you recall that, if you go back to our disclosures, you can find that. And we had an inventory build-up on that day. Even today, if you look at our revenues, I'm still sitting at 500 crores of inventory. If you add my 500 and 500, you can do the math and you can see what... I told on 9th of February makes sense even today.
So according to that order, that 15 crore liters should be executed in the current year? Is it compulsory from the OMCs to buy from us?
So the order actually reads that within 10 days of the order, they have to implement the order and give time for 90 days to complete the offtakes. But it's already been 3.5 months, February, May. It's already been about 3+ months that they've not implemented the order. They're taking shelter under that LTO matter that we just spoke of earlier. I understand your frustration, Vedanji. Trust me, it's the same with me. Having invested, having the capacity, having the money to buy raw material, and having the inventory we're unable to sell.
Okay, thank you for the explanation, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sakshi Sharma from Plus91 Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Your voice is a bit low.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, I would like to ask the future realization of ethanol with OMC. Would it be 67 or it will increase to more?
It will be 67 unless we see an increase in the price of offtakes. You know, the price change has not happened for the last 3 years. And we've all been writing to the departments to increase the price. But if you ask my individual opinion, it looks unlikely, because when there is already oversupply, one fight is to increase the allocation. At that time, if you go and say increase the price also, it might seem difficult for the OMC. But however, if you look at the raw material prices, they have fallen also. If you look at maize and rice, maize price used to be 24, 25 rupees. Today it's at 18, 19 rupees. So our margins are healthy anyway.
Okay. Sir, also, can you please explain how the contracts are priced?
So there are 5 different pricing prices for the public sector OMCs. Ethanol derived from maize is at 71 rupees change. Ethanol derived from syrup is 65 rupees and change. Ethanol derived from damaged food grains is 64 rupees. From B heavy molasses, it is 60 rupees. From FCI rice, it is 58 rupees. And from C heavy molasses, again, it's 58 rupees.
Okay. Okay, sir. Also, sir, what's the delta of each increase of percentage of blending? So if the blending is increased by 1%, how much crore liter demand is generated?
So India consumes about 5,500 crore liters of petrol per year, and 1% of 5,500 crore liters would be about 55 crore liters. So each 1% increase in blending would create a 55 to 56 crore liters of demand.
Okay, sir. Okay, done with the question. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our last question from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Bhavesh, your line is unmuted. Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. My question is, this 150 crore subsidy under a PM Jeevan scheme, so what's the status on that?
Thank you for that. I may have missed out on sharing that during my presentation. There are four committees. There is Center for Higher Technology, CHT, and a committee led by Joint Secretary. Then it goes to the committee led by Secretary, which is the final approving authority. Our proposal is already approved by two committees. We have already received emails from two committees. And the final committee is with the Secretary. And that meeting was supposed to happen in the month of April. But because of the Middle Eastern crisis, that meeting is continuously being postponed. The Secretary is tied up is what we keep hearing. I don't see any challenges for us to realize that approval.
Okay. And in terms of accounting, would that be a credit to P&L or it would be offset CapEx?
Answer. That 150 crores will be coming in once we commission the plant. And that money is utilized to pay or reduce the interest cost on the project. It will come in as a government grant as a one-time other income.
Yeah, okay. It will be part of the other income, but not just below the total operating income. It will be other income. That's right.
Yeah, it's a P&L credit in whatever form and shape. Yeah, understood.
Yeah, definitely.
So we are expecting that in Q2 of Q1. No.
That will be once we commission the plant, sir. We will still take at least 24 months to commission the plant.
Okay, it will be staggered, sort of.
No, it is a one-shot payment, but the payment will come once we commission the plant and operate the plant.
And when that is expected?
Let's say 24 to 30 months is the target we hold to commission the plant. That's 2020
FY29. Oh, wow. Okay, thanks. I've done my question.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Kumar Nirani for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir. On behalf of Suvolt Bioenergy, I extend my deepest thanks and gratitude to the stakeholders for having the faith and the interest in the green energy transition and in our company. And I also extend my apologies as management of the company that we could not get the 15 crore liters implemented and demonstrate the growth that we had already promised. But trust me, we are leaving no stones unturned. We are running pillar to post to getting all of that done and to create investor value. And also going forward, our objective is to not be only dependent on the government policy, but we're also finding alternative use case through sustainable aviation fuel or through export of ethanol so that our capacity in the ethanol business is fully utilized. Sustainable aviation fuel creates another revenue line. CBG will create growth opportunity and fuel retail vertical will create further revenue growth opportunity. So we are trying to do all that we can to create value to the shareholder. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Trolled Bioenergy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.